This whole passage is a passage from the Gospel of Luke teaching us about prayer from the master prayer, Jesus. The disciples ask, Lord, teach us to pray. And why did they ask? Because they observed how dedicated and how fruitful and how intimate Jesus' prayer was with his heavenly Father. Already, Jesus models the kind of prayer that he wants us to pray. It says that Jesus just had prayed at a certain place. So this is a general word, a certain place, but we know the kinds of places that Jesus prayed. He would often go up into the mountain to pray. He would sometimes go on a boat at the sea and pray, or he would go to the beach and pray, or he would go to a garden and pray as he did at the Garden of Gethsemane at the end of his life. So Jesus encourages us by his model as a prayer warrior to find our certain place. In the Gospel of Matthew, he tells us to go into our closets or to go into our room and shut the door to pray. And so already it begs the question, where is our special place of prayer? Is it as we go on a walk and around our neighborhood or along the beach? Or is it as we travel, as we go through the mountains? Is it as Luther instructs us to do so at our dinner table? Each time we pray, that we would pray a prayer of thanksgiving before we eat and pray a prayer of returning thanks after we eat. Or when we get up out of our beds and pray, as Luther also instructs us, or as we pray as we lay our heads down to sleep. Where is your certain place? In Jesus' instructions in Matthew, he says, when you pray, pray this way or in this manner. And so the Lord's Prayer, which is a fuller one that we recognize in Matthew chapter 6, it's more of a model of prayer in the way Jesus presents it. In this prayer, Jesus says, say in Luke. And so it's both. It's not only the words that we can pray by memory and by rote, but also a model for how we ought to pray throughout the day and throughout our Christian lives. And so we can look at this prayer both as a resource and a prayer that we can utilize daily, but also as a model for how we also pray throughout the day and throughout our lives. Prayer here is modeled after just talking to our Heavenly Father. This is a relationship that we have with our Creator, the Source. We talk to God. God, through the Scriptures and through the Holy Spirit, speaks back to us. And so we are in this communion. We are at union with God in prayer, just as we come to the table in prayer. And we enjoy our union with God in his body and blood and the gift of his Son on the altar. This prayer begins with sheer adoration. This is often in contrast to how we often pray. We often pray for physical things, don't we? That's what's on our minds, whether it is for physical healing or for the difficulties that we're facing that are tangible and concrete in our lives. But that's not how Jesus begins teaching us to pray. He begins by simply adoring God, giving thanks to God, for hallowing his name because he is. He was and he will be for all eternity. This is our eternal Heavenly Father, the very source and creator of all things. And so as we approach the throne of grace, as we begin our prayers, We are filled up with gratitude and praise and honor for the one who made us. This will change the way we pray. This also begins by talking about God's kingdom coming and his will being done. And so our prayers begin with God's economy, God's agenda, God's priorities, God's set of ideals for our lives. Just like the Ten Commandments begin with our relationship with God, the Heavenly Father, by having no other gods but him, to love God with our whole heart, our mind, and our soul, and our strength. So the Lord's Prayer begins with our relationship with God, this vertical dimension of prayer. It's then and only then that it transitions into the more horizontal relationship with God. And so you can think of prayer like a cross. It begins with our vertical relationship with God, and then it follows that we pray for our horizontal relationship with ourselves and one another, just like the Ten Commandments do, where we're told to honor our father and mother, to not murder, not to have adultery, not to steal, to lie, or to covet. So in the Lord's Prayer, we pray that we would be reconciled with one another just as we are reconciled with the Heavenly Father. It's only after we give God all the due praise and thanks and honor that our eyes should be directed toward ourselves and one another for these relational needs that we have. And notice, it's still about relationships. It's about forgiveness. The forgiveness we receive from God and the forgiveness that flows out through us toward others and one another. It's all about reconciliation and restitution of relationships. We pray with humility, with growth and character in mind, our growth, our character in mind. Jesus, I think, jokingly and humorously gives two negative examples of what prayer should not be like. It's not like going to a friend who's so annoyed by you that your persistent knocking makes him get out of bed and give you that loaf of bread. God is not like that, friend. He's better than any earthly friend. He's a friend of sinners. God isn't like an evil parent that if you ask for an egg, gives a scorpion or a snake. He is like a loving heavenly Father who knows what we need even before we ask or even before we think. When we ask God, we come to him as a good friend, a faithful friend, but even more so, as a loving caretaker, as a loving heavenly Father. Jesus goes on to say, ask and you will receive, search and you will find, knock and the door will be open to you. And it sounds like a free-for-all, that we can ask for whatever we want to ask. But notice how Jesus ends his instructions on how to pray. He said, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So in our asking and in our searching and in our knocking, we're looking for those spiritual heavenly gifts, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the things that we ask in Jesus' name. Sarah recounts when she was a young girl, she would ask her parents for something sugary, sweet for dessert. And her dad would always say, that's why I have the apple tree in the backyard. Here's an apple. This will satisfy your thirst. This will satisfy your hunger and your sugar tooth. He cared more about her health, the health of her teeth and of her body. And so she received that apple, sometimes begrudgingly, but knowing that even though she asked for what she wanted, her father, her earthly father, gave her what she needed, which is nutrition and sustenance. The Rolling Stones put it this way: you can't always get what you want, but you will find you will get what you need. Wisdom, even from Mick Jagger. The only guarantee you see in this prayer that Jesus tells us to pray, or how to pray, the only guarantee he gives is the Holy Spirit and all the blessings that flow from this triune God who wants to bless us and enrich us. The Holy Spirit gives us the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And what a great way to pray, too. If we're praying for the Holy Spirit, to pray for the fruit of the Holy Spirit, that God would give us more love, more joy, more peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This is what the Holy Spirit gives abundantly to us by his grace. And so when Sarah now has her son ask her, could I have a sugary dessert or something sweet? She points to the fruit basket on the counter, giving her child what he needs. Ask and you will find. Search and you will find. Knock and that door will be opened to you. God wants to give us the abundance of the Holy Spirit to enrich our lives. In the name of Jesus, amen.